Drunk on Comics, episode 173, brought to you by Ink Whiskey. Check them out at inkwhiskey.com. Tony, a brain juxtaposed. So
you look like shit.
Not because of booze, which is a first in like who knows how long of recordings. When I always feel rough that way. No, it's because of my damn Halloween costume. The one that I made last minute. I went as the Yellow Brick Road, and I spray painted a giant block. I also got a lot of people thinking I was the Mario block at first until everyone else showed up.
I told you you should have put a big question mark on the backside.
That could have worked. But no, I had it sweet from like this long draping, I don't know, I guess you'd call it cape that looked like the brick road. And like I said, it was a giant box that I spray painted and then with some gray, you know, colors painted to make it look like bricks.
You didn't just like lay down on the ground and be like, oh, look, I'm the Yellow Brick Road, just so you could try to look up girl skirts, did you? Because no. That would be way immature.
Yes.
And I have to smack you for it.
No, and I only had a couple drinks at this party. What really did me in was the paint. See, the paint was dry, but the paint still had fumes. Because that stuff soaks into cardboard. And you have this giant thing that's surrounding your entire body, wafting up to your face, because the box is all around my body. I end up getting poisoning. I don't know what you'd call it. Like spray paint poisoning?
You were just like any average middle schooler who wants to try to get a high.
So for once, instead of you eating paint chips, you huffed paint this time.
Yes.
Stick to the paint chips. They're sweeter. Dude. Way sweeter.
Especially the
lead paint. No, I do not recommend this to anyone. Now it's like 3 days later, and I'm still feeling like shit. Like, I am hurting.
You have that, like, one brain cell still up there, like, trying to fire it.
It's like, because he killed all the rest of them watching Fantastic Four a few weeks
I'm
ago.
I'm alone with my books.
Like I said, I will probably not be great this week, and I hope I recover by next week, because if I'm still feeling bad, I have some permanent brain damage.
You might want to go see a doctor about that.
But what's going on with you guys?
What's going on?
And I said, hey, yeah.
What the fuck?
We just know that Derek hates that song, so we mostly just wanted it for him. Since he's not here today. Today with us, we do have myself, Matt.
This Derek.
Well, and we do have a Derek.
That's true. But he likes the song.
I do.
And Tony McKay, Esquire.
One brain cell Tony.
Yes. I'm surprised I remember my name. Oh, and I wasn't smart enough to order pizza again this time.
You're not normally smart enough anyways, so.
I'm not starting reviews. Let's get into some.
All right. Off the shelf this week. Fresh off the shelf here. I got two books because, catching up for lost time. And guess what? They're both Avengers books.
No surprise there.
No surprise there. They're both the number ones. Obviously, this is picking up after Secret Wars sometime. How we got to this point, we still don't know, but we'll figure that out in time. First one, let's talk about the Uncanny Avengers. Find the title page so I can get people's first names here. But written by Jerry Duggan, art by Ryan Stegman, and colors Richard Asanove. So this, like the Uncanny Avengers before Secret Wars, they had the Mutant Unity Squad. Now it is still a Unity Squad, but trying to incorporate the Inhumans to it.
Oh.
Old Man Captain America is still in it, and Rogue is still in it. But those are really about the only members from that original Unity Squad that the team's made out of. The rest of the team consists of Brother Voodoo. I love that character. I'm glad that he's getting some more page time.
Did he officially come back at that event? Do you remember when he was kind of coming back and haunting them?
He came back in Axis, I thought. That was Doom's mission.
Oh, yeah.
Doom's mission was to find him so that he could, since they couldn't find Strange, to be able to cast the magic spell. And let's see. Deadpool is part of this team. In fact, Deadpool is funding this team through his merchandise sales.
Awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice little...
That's what I really want to know, how he was on the team, and that makes a lot of sense then.
Well, and Spider-Man's on the team, except Spider-Man's not on the team because he quit, because Captain America seems to trust Deadpool, and he doesn't like that Captain America trusts Deadpool.
So... See, I'm wondering, there's a Spider-Man Deadpool coming out soon that I'm wondering maybe if... to have them not be so friendly. Mm-hmm. He's off the team, but maybe he comes back on the team after that.
I feel like you don't put a character like Spider-Man on the team and then in the first issue get rid of him and then keep him gone, right? Like, yeah, I really feel like he's going to come back in some capacity.
Unless they just had everyone buy the number one because they're like, Spider-Man's on the team. Kidding.
JK.
We don't have Wolverine anymore, so we got to have Spider-Man on every team.
You got to get that big money guy on there.
Johnny Storm, or the Human Torch, is on there. And then a new Inhuman character called Synapse, who can control minds.
Oh,
and Quicksilver is also a part of the team. So, yeah. I like the book.
Seems like a good pairing of people.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely going to create some friction. Rogue's already, she made a comment to the public media, because part of this is dealing with the, you know, mutant and human relations. That's a whole part of the team. So they're very public, and they have to have, like, press conferences. And Rogue says something about the Inhuman, or Terrigen poison that's going across the land, because it's deadly to mutants. And so... So that's why there's very few mutants hanging out with this Terrigen.
I'd love to see actually a book, because it almost seemed like some of the pictures of the Terrigen mist, like it was like a huge cloud, like just going over the entire mm-hmm. world.
Yeah.
In which case, there's no way you wouldn't inhale
see it
that
coming? Yeah.
Unless you are running in front of it around the world. So like, yeah. Even if they did a Quicksilver where it just showed him like running in front of like this mist, like
but,
going around the
see,
world.
But I thought Quicksilver got his powers back by going through the Terrigen mist. After Decimation, way back in the House of M, he lost his powers, and he got them back by like through the Terrigen mist, I thought.
But he's not a mutant.
But that would make him not a mutant anymore.
That'd make him an Inhuman, yeah.
Yeah, but he is still a mutant, so but he's definitely not
mutant,
but he's not... definitely not Magneto's son.
Yeah.
So
that is that. I don't know. They are kind of they're retconning a lot of shit now. Mm-hmm. So you kind of we're not rebooting, but we're also just saying that shit didn't happen. Like
we should have a conversation about retcon one of these days soon, because I got some strong feelings both ways about it. But back to these reviews. So good book, but the Terrigen Mist I think is actually into smaller clouds now because the bad guy for it starts off with his origin story of how he isn't Inhuman. And it basically was like just this little bit of seeping in mist that looks all gross and shadowy, and then you go, oh, it was Terrigen mist.
Are you sure so. Stegman drew this?
Yeah.
Because this doesn't look like Stegman.
It's different, but I definitely see some of the same qualities.
Well, like
especially the movement pieces to it.
I at first saw him post something online, and some commenters were questioning, like, did your art style change to him? And I didn't see a response in any of the threads, but it definitely has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really weird joints. Like
I said, like, pointy elbows was a big thing to it.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess that's a thing of a good artist, though. If you can draw in different styles, that's...
He was very deep. Like, his Spider-Man and everything, like, just the small little nuances in the background were just to die for. Even when he is coming up with Reader and like the cards that you could clearly see had different little like bumps for different braille that he'd carry on the side. It could just be that maybe he's trying to go with a different style that the book's going to mainly have, but it's different.
Mm-hmm. Definitely different. But pick it up. I thought there's this great scene with Captain America where he's got a beer. And he's, like, talking out of the side of his mouth, kind of all Clint Eastwood-like. And I'm like, you are just a grumpy old man now, Captain America. I really loved it.
Here's something that needs to be said, though, too. Back when we were first hearing about the new Captain America, the new Thor, and was it Iron?
Superior Iron Man, I think.
Yeah, but that was kind of, that's still Tony. That was just Tony on hard drugs. Like, but we still have new Thor and... new Captain, or old man Captain America, where I thought in a couple months we were going to see that status quo go back.
Yeah, after Secret Wars,
uh-huh.
We thought he'd reboot it. I agree, but...
But I'm also now thinking, I do miss young Steve Rogers, but I like old man Steve Rogers. Like, it seems like they can have a plethora, and I want them to go with this. Keep it going. Have now old man Logan's replacing other Wolverine. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see that all of a sudden change in a year. I want it 10 years, maybe, if you mm-hmm. want to bring, you know, Steve Rogers to get a super serum back soldier in. Sword, whatever, that goo, yeah, have him become young again.
The brain cell killing goo.
Yeah, me not speak well.
Yeah. Well, let me get to the next book then.
Okay.
So, The New Avengers, written by Al Ewing, Gerardo Sandoval as the artist, and Donna Sanchez Alamara is the color artist. And this team of Avengers is technically, I guess their name is AIM. They have switched the name for AIM acronym to mean
Avengers.
Yeah, something with Avengers in it. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember. I'd have to sweep through here to find it. So, but yeah, so they're the AIM team, but they're based off of Sunspot, who owns AIM, bought the company, and has been running it for a while, and they're off of AIM Island.
Well, and that still kind of goes into the ending of pre-Secret Wars, yeah. Where he had it, and it also jumped ahead 8 months during that time. Mm-hmm. So you kind of start finding out how he got it, but they didn't explain it so much. Mm-mm. Then, do they explain it a little bit better here of how he
not came yet. About? Not okay. yet. He's just rich and he bought the company, that's all. But why everyone in AIM then went, yeah, we'll work for you because you're paying the bills, I guess. So, well, the team consists of Songbird. Oh, and this book does a really nice job of introducing the characters because these characters probably aren't as familiar as Deadpool and Rogue and the rest of them. And so when the characters first get introduced, you get a quick, this is their name, and these are their powers. So, Wiccan, who is a reality warper. And a lot of these were, like, on the Young Avengers team, too, because Hulkling is also one. Super strong shapeshifter. White Tiger and Power Man, who are both in the Ultimate Spider-Man TV show.
See, I don't care about any of those characters.
Yeah. Squirrel Girl.
Squirrel Girl's pretty awesome.
Right? Yeah, Squirrel Girl's actually really awesome in this. Although her big buck teeth, I mean, I get that it makes her more like a squirrel. But it kind of looks a little more rabbitish to me, I guess. And
she was never like that.
Yeah, she didn't have the big...
Hot for a,
she was hot for a while, but the Squirrel Girl series now, she's kind of chubby and squirrelish, so I don't know. Maybe they're trying to like play into the middle of the two, because she looks like hot bucktooth squirrel chick there versus chubby squirrel chick. So
yes. Well, and the art is definitely... it's animated. We'll call it that. Cause especially Squirrel Girl. I mean, she looks like she could jump right off of the pages of a cartoon or a cartoon series. But anyway, Songbird is also, she can create sound waves and turn them into solid sounds. And then Sunspot, who's their leader. Okay. And then Hawkeye. Because Hawkeye is the not-so-secret spy from S.H.I.E.L.D. who's supposed to report in on them. Dum Dum Dugan comes in and tells this straight to Sunspot's face, like, hey, I'm supposed to secretly infiltrate your group, put a spy in your ranks, and have them report back to me without you knowing. And he goes, well, why are you telling me this? Because you're not an idiot. So let's just do this the right way, because we're all good guys here. And let me just put my guy on your team, so... S.H.I.E.L.D.'s okay with what you guys are doing. So I'm like, oh, that's fun and neat and not trying to play off the traditional spy tropes. Last bit of real fun things, the Maker, the Ultimate Reed Richards, is the bad guy.
And that's where the team I don't care about, but then you put him in there, and I want to read about him and what he's going to be doing in this new Marvel world.
You've got to think that's coming out of Secret Wars, that something happened that leads him to be...
The Reed Richards, yeah. Well, they in Uncanny Avengers, Human Torch does say that Sue and Reed are missing still, so they don't have them. And Ben is off in outer space with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
So, yeah, they do hint at like what's going to happen at the end of it, but you know that Maker's going to survive through, because that was one of the best villain twists in the Ultimate Universe, is when you find out Reed Richards became bad because he just thought everyone else is too stupid.
Now, I know that in the Zero issue book, that did you read that last week when I gave it to you?
No, I don't think
I even gave it to you. Okay, well, I should give that to you. Brain cells. A little prequel before this. which introduces all the Avengers teams. They showed Maker being in this title, but he was in charge of his own group.
Yeah, Whisper.
Yeah. Did they say what they said?
No, for? They didn't give me an acronym for Whisper.
Like,
I'm gonna go home and try to think of all the different things. Weird, hyperbolic.
Yeah, like that's what I'm sure. And I don't know why Whisper. Like, that just seems...
It's a secret.
Still, it seems kind of... You could have came up with a bet. Whisper seems really not evil.
Oh, but come on. DC does the same thing. They have Hive, they have Argus, they have...
They love the acronyms.
Checkmate or something like that. I don't know, yeah. Acronyms are fun.
Yeah, but so it's like...
We're DOC. We're the doc.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, so those are my takes on the new Avengers teams. Still number one, so you can't get too, you know, oh, this is really, really awesome. But I think they're strong starts, and there's definitely something in both books that is going to want to keep me coming back.
Cool, cool. Well, I picked up one of the new Vertigo books that we talked about a couple weeks ago of them coming out with all these new series, and not all of them are ongoing. This one is going to be one of four, but it might get picked up. It is The Twilight Children, number one. Co-creator and writer, Gilbert Hernandez. Co-creator and artist and letterer and cover art, Darwin Cook. Colorist, Dave Stewart. Now, this book, I'm almost going to use juxtapose, which is a smart word.
That's polysyllabic. You should be careful.
For this book, as well as when we get to Indie Turnpike, because of the way that it's drawn, but yet the way that the storytelling goes. Now, this one, in the previews, you get to know one of the main characters, Tito, who she was talking to a man out front of her husband's shop. Hey, I'll see you later. We're going to hook up. And then going in and her husband being in love with her. She's obviously cheating on him, and that's not really a kid type thing that, you know, that younger people audience would be reading. But when you look at the art, I don't like saying cartoony as saying it's a bad style, but this looks a little more cartoony than almost like a serious, you know, adult looking type vibe. So with that, that's where I think I use juxtapose right, where it's opposite of it maybe. Or am I not?
No, because the other book that you're going to compare it to also has very cartoony things in it, but it's a very adult.
Yeah, but is that not what juxtapose could mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's comparing, it's contrasting them, yeah.
Okay, good. Yay!
But I'm going to hold them up to each other in contrast.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't sounding dumber than I think I am.
You usually don't have to try.
Shut up. Going back to this story, though, that preview, it almost seemed like the pages went right in a row, like... But they really cut up the story. There is a middle, some meat into here where you're really getting to know the characters so quickly and simply in a number one story, and not even knowing truly what this whole story is about, you learn a lot. And in that, like I said, in the initial little preview thing, there was a bunch of stuff that got left out that reading that you would have 100% wanted to get into this. Learning about Bundo, the guy who lives on the beach of this Cape Town, who is a drunk, and he's still a drunk, and he's drowning his sorrows away because, well, he got drunk one night with a lit cigarette in his mouth and fell asleep on the couch and lost his wife and kids in the fire. That's pretty deep. That's another adultness, yeah. for this book. And so getting to know that character, how the sheriff doesn't really trust the scientist because this all revolves around this orb that shows up on the beach. Now, what was great to know also through the dialogue and everything, that you get the sense of, this isn't the first time. In fact, they know that by the morning, it's going to disappear. They appear randomly, just this glowing orb. They can't move it. They can't touch it. They're trying to pull it in with a net, but it just wouldn't move, but they know they disappear. So they have these scientists on backup, but they know they can never get there on time because when they get there in the morning, the orb's already gone. But within a few things of dialogue, you got to know them saying this isn't the first time or whatever. So that's why they're not freaking out as much as you would think. A lot of this just seems real. And that's what I like when the writing style goes, there are people that cheat on each other. There are people that would have affairs. There are people that would be doing this and that in the world. Having these three little kids exploring the caves when they're told not to. and the shit that happens with them when they find another orb, it all just seems like it's real. But also, you're looking at the art style as being a little, like I said, not real cartoony-ish. But, I mean, I guess it's comic book, so it's not.
I think, since I read this too, I think the one thing that helps it, though it is very cartoony, I think the colors that Dave Stewart used in this that really kind of keep it subdued and a little darker kind of help it be that more adult, even though it does look very cartoony. Because if it had, like, the bright poppy cartoon colors, mm-hmm. I think that would really make it more, like, a kid would possibly pick this up when it's definitely not a children's book whatsoever.
No, but it, even then, it's still, at the end, it left me with what is going on? Like, where is the story going?
What's going on?
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, like, why do the orbs keep showing up when they do and where they do?
Yeah, where do they go? And, I mean, it doesn't give too much away, but the chick at the end, like, naked chick on the beach, that's kind of weird. So definitely I want to know more about this, but I'm also involved with these characters now. The three kids that are now can't see, the scientists, why the sheriff hates the scientists, like, what does the scientist want to find out about these orbs? I want to know about these orbs. Will the great couple get back together, or will they drift apart next time on The Twilight Children? So, yeah, good book, though, and I am looking forward to everything that's coming out of Vertigo. Probably going to try to sneak in every single number one of those, because they all seem way different. When we usually review number one of Avengers or number one of Justice League or Batman or any of those mainstream books, you still kind of get a sense of, you know, where that's going to go. These ones are brand new, yeah.
No, yeah.
I picked it up on cover alone because it looked cool. I don't even remember looking at the Vertigo preview for this one, but I thought, hey, new series, let's try it out. And coolest advertisement ever also in here for the Sandman chess set.
Just, oh, yeah.
Randomly plug that one in there. So,
what'd you pick up, Derek?
I have a confession to make before I tell you. I picked up Lumberjanes Beyond Bayleaf number one, which is like their annual thing. I never read a Lumberjanes book before, so...
So what do you feel?
I can see why it's so popular. Written by Faith Erin Hicks, who does Lumberjanes. Illustrated and lettered by Rosemary Valero O'Connell, who is a newcomer, apparently. So the art style is a little bit different on this one than your standard Lumberjanes. My wife reads Lumberjanes and loves it. I've never just read it, I guess.
Lynn reads it.
Has she, while talking, because as married couples do, you'll talk about your day at work and then about your comic books that you picked up that week. But in all honesty, like, has she talked to you about this book?
A little bit. She always asks me, because she's like, did the new Lumberjanes come out yet? Did the new Lumberjanes come out yet? Like, that and Squirrel Girl are her two go-tos. So I went, well, shit, I got to read one now.
We know
to see what's going on.
We know why you married her.
Yeah. So, this is a self-contained Lumberjanes story. I guess it's outside the normal plot, but still follows, you know, empowered women at the camp. And the supernatural craziness that ensues, usually, in Lumberjanes, apparently, since I have not read any. Whoops, my bad. But I enjoyed it. There was a whole, good versus evil outside the camp in the forest going on with this creepy collector lady that is, like, stealing magic to keep herself alive, and what the kids, how they work together to try to stop it. Like I said, family friendly, awesome.
Now, do they call themselves Lumberjanes?
I don't think they ever touch it in here, but...
Well, I mean, obviously, the opposite of Lumberjack would have to be Lumberjane.
Yes, exactly.
But
they're hardcore lady types who can fend for themselves, Tony. You should know this.
Do they have axes?
They do not have axes. They have their minds and a stuffed horse.
Okay.
So,
speaking of axes, and once he gets done with this review, just keep going.
You've totally thrown me off now.
Yeah.
But
speaking of axes,
I've
got one to grind. Speaking of axes, have you seen my bloody hatchet?
I don't know where that was going, but cool.
So we're so having not read Lumberjanes, could you pick this one up and be like, oh, yes, this is a nice starting point, and I can start to learn about the characters.
Yeah, you get a good idea of who the different characters are, what's going on at the camp, without having to have followed all of the original story. I mean, obviously, if you have read it, I'm going to assume that some of these things are going to play into each other. You'll understand the characters a little better. But I had no trouble getting through this and knowing what was going on.
That's cool. Like, so if you were curious about this title, you could go pick this up, and if you like it more, go find the back issues and
go find the rest of the series. Yeah.
So what exactly is Beyond Bayleaf?
Well, I assume looking at the Bayleaf, that is one of their badges that they earn at their camp.
But like, what is beyond it? Like, you know,
the forest and magic and awesomeness, I guess. I don't know why it's called that. I suck.
Hey, you know, you're not supposed to eat the Bayleaf, right?
They are disgusting.
But they make the food taste so much
better.
They
do.
It's so weird.
I know.
Just one of them, too.
I know.
You just throw one leaf. I've asked my wife that about that, because she's like, oh, just throw one of those in. I go, what's one leaf going to do?
A lot.
So, and then you can play a game of who finds the bay leaf.
It's a fun game.
That person gets to do dishes. How come I always find it in my bowl?
I think that might be why the bay leaf is like the badge, because it's such a powerful ingredient.
Yeah.
Just girl power.
What about the ghost pony?
Ghost pony is a magical spirit ghost pony that is pretty awesome.
Okay.
As the name suggests, it's
what do you want to know? Ghost, it's an ancient like spirit that one of the girls finds out in the forest that the creepy collector lady is trying to take to basically keep herself alive. Apparently she like steals spirits.
Souls,
yes, of ghost ponies in the forest. So,
we'll get them all over to the candy gingerbread house.
Mm.
Delicious children, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She does basically say she wants to try to collect the children, too, at one point, so that's kind of weird, but
Children are magical.
Apparently, yes. So friendship is magical, too. Magical.
They are, and then they grow old and weary, and the world just kind of depresses them and crushes them. Soul-crushing.
God.
Or you can sniff paint fumes and be like me.
Yeah, get that magical feeling back.
Me happy. We're going to come back in like 2 hours. Tony's going to have silver spray paint all over his mouth.
He's watching Road Warrior again.
So shiny and chrome, me need feeling back. Me happy at party.
All right, so I want to tell you what I was going to talk about the axes. Because yesterday me and a buddy were talking about, he saw this idea in Canada, and it was a bar/axe-throwing place, restaurant, where you can throw axes at targets. It also had a restaurant, and also had a bar, which he was like, dude, we could totally make that work, especially from, like, our you know, on up through the state. There's enough people that an axe-throwing bar...
Your insurance bill would be so fucking astronomical. You're combining alcohol and axes.
But not in Canada, because they have socialized medicine.
It's true. It's true.
But I think that would be a great idea. And I just wish I had money to throw at this idea, because it would be so much fun. Would you not want to go to a bar?
I wish I had an axe that I could throw.
I'm going to be honest with you. For my bachelor gift, I gave everyone tomahawks that they could throw, and the day before my wedding, my wife was pissed when she found out, but we were in the backyard for like 3 hours with a giant hunk of wood just chucking this tomahawk across the yard. Thankfully, no one lost any fingers, limbs, an eye, anything the day before my wedding, but it is really fucking fun.
Yeah.
So when coming up with this idea of what we're going to do, so axe throwing, restaurant, bar, and I go, in barbershop? And my buddy goes...
Med center? Yeah. Yes.
And now I just thought of, I just want to do that separately. Just somewhere in town, open a barbershop where they shave you with an axe. How badass would that be?
It would be.
That would
I don't
be
think it'd be very sharp.
No, you somehow could make it sharp. Or whatever, it's a fake looking
axe. You're going to call it something like Lumbeard Jacks or something?
They need to have maple syrup and slapjacks.
Flapjacks. Totally,
slapjacks?
Flapjacks. Sorry.
But we could totally... Would that not be a cool place to go get a beard?
I'd go there.
If I could grow a beard, I probably would. But since I look like a goddamn 12-year-old most of the time, I don't think I would be frequenting it.
All right. Well, that was just an idea. Now the internet knows it, and they'll steal it.
Yep. Probably. You're welcome, interwebs.
Yeah. But speaking of Canada, don't they have a couple Canadian superheroes?
They do indeed. There was a list of top five superheroes, which I didn't have pulled up.
As voted by Canadians?
I hope so. I got
Bryan Adams on that list or Celine Dion?
Tell me it's not worth dying for. Oh, God.
Now my head hurts.
It should have, anyways. One second, I gotta pull this. You put me on the spot here, and I didn't have the article pulled up again so we could look at it.
It's like the third time you being on the spot. Get it together, buddy.
Dude.
Yeah, Tony's been huffing paint fumes.
I didn't think old Paint Fumes McGee over here would be so, like, throw me under the bus.
The thing is that Tony probably now has a brain tumor, and it's gonna start turning into phenomena.
It's not a tumor!
And he's gonna start getting smarter and smarter.
All right, so let's go down these and talk about them one by one. How about Wolverine?
Nah. I've seen him before. He's
he's not my favorite buddy, but we talk every now and then.
He's a good drinking buddy, but he can't get drunk, so he's a good DD. So
yeah. How about Guardian, leader of Alpha Flight?
Didn't they make him more of a bad guy eventually?
I believe so, yes. But
yeah, he's always a dick at the parties.
Yeah. Like Tony.
I thought Canadians were supposed to be polite, but...
You thought so. Scott Pilgrim.
I like Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. Everyone does, and apparently I look like young Neil, so...
Yeah, so...
There's a good one. North Star.
I'm fine with North Star.
Is this going to consist of all people that have been on Alpha Flight?
Alpha Flight, apparently. Apparently everyone, except for Scott Pilgrim. What if Scott Pilgrim was on Alpha Flight?
That'd be a good what if.
That would be pretty sweet. Equinox.
Yeah, what's her powers? What's she... I mean, she was on Alpha Flight, right?
Twice a year, she's invincible.
Just for 12 hours.
They are tied to her homeland, so apparently she's super strong in Canada, which is a really shitty superpower. Yeah.
There's a guy, a Chinese hero from Marvel, who's got the strength of all the people in China.
Thousands like, of people. Yeah.
Yeah, name. Yeah, but he's got the strength of a billion human beings. And I go, that's actually not a terrible power.
Now, do you remember Alpha Flight? Who was the big, like, Yeti-looking
Sasquatch?
Sasquatch. Yep. Yes, why is he not on this list?
Why isn't Puck on this list? Because he was the coolest member of Alpha Flight.
So apparently this is the top five Alpha Flight members. Now
and Scott Pilgrim.
And Scott Pilgrim, who is now an honorary member of Alpha Flight. It's just a shame Jay wasn't here to discuss this, because I think he would probably have some very strong feelings towards Canuck superheroes.
One of the reasons why we looked this up was to try to have some Canadian news.
Exactly. Jay was supposed to be here with us, but I guess he had to go home a little bit early. So.
I don't know why they wouldn't put Captain Canuck.
I know. That was my other thought.
Like, that is their Captain America.
Like, you can't get more Canadian than Captain Canuck.
Why isn't Wayne Gretzky on this list?
He is a superhero.
Was Dudley Do-Right Canadian?
Yeah.
He's a Mountie.
He's a Mountie.
That's what I was going to say, because he's a Mountie. So, I mean, I think he would be a famous one as well.
Maybe the main character
from... I think his horse saved more people than Dudley did.
Yes. Maybe the main character from 90s television show Due South could be on this list. Just famous random Canadian folk.
Awesome. Well, all right. Let's see. Robot Chicken has their third installment of DC, Super Friends, coming out actually October 18th.
Those are always really fun.
Those are. And Burt Ward apparently was stunned by the process. So they brought in Burt Ward to voice Robin, and I got a good quote from him. He says, I'm stunned. I've never seen anything like this involving our characters. I had never watched Robot Chicken, and it was a little bit of culture shock. But I think it's spectacular, and I told Tom Root earlier, Tom Root's the producer for it. I told Tom Root earlier, before we did any interviews, that it's brilliant on DC's part to open up this up to all audiences. It's just genius. Everybody wins. Everybody gets something they like. So it's kind of nice to hear, you know, Burt Ward, who's a little bit older, probably doesn't watch Adult Swim.
I'd imagine he probably watches a little more Lawrence Welk than Robot Chicken.
Well, maybe Murder, She Wrote, some on reruns.
Jessica Lansbury?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I just think it's a lot of fun that he said that he really likes what they've done, even though Robot Chicken completely can destroy your
just
childhood.
Yeah, shits on there.
Apparently the theme for this one is they have Composite Superman, which is half Batman. It's this alien that becomes half Batman and half Superman. And since Batman doesn't have any powers, only half of the alien's body has powers, which is their ongoing gag with Superman and Batman, and that is that Superman just shits on Batman all the time for not having any powers. So check that one out, because they're always hilarious.
Something that Derek was super excited for, and too bad he's not here to be able to, like, truly get his, like, giddiness of it, but,
we could hear him giggle like a schoolgirl.
Yes, but Alita Battle Angel finally has a director, Robert Rodriguez. Now, this is based off a manga, and it's one of those weird things, like, I've known Derek for a long time, but when I first learned how much in love of this one manga, especially the movie series that was about the cartoon of it, he wanted more of it. And he was just like, it's one of the best things I ever saw. And it's one of those pretty good, but it was only, I think, an hour long. Like, that was it. That's all that there was to this world that I saw.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I thought that could make a live-action movie following around a cyborg woman who gets, you know, rebuilt from the scrapyard, and she doesn't remember who she is, but she has her martial arts skills and becomes a hunter-warrior and tracks down criminals. Everything epic made of a world where also the rich, yeah, they live in the floating city above, and all their crap gets thrown down here, which is kind of why, yeah, it's like any of those other, you know, type of Japanimation, anime, manga type stories. But I'm saying his excitement for him. So yeah, you guys have no clue what
Robert Rodriguez is awesome. I mean,
yeah, he'll do the project proud.
Yeah, let's think like Desperado, From Dusk Till Dawn, like Once Upon a Time in Mexico. All those movies are just over the top ridiculous fun. So
yeah, I love Desperado. I appreciated Once Upon a Time in Mexico, but
Desperado's
way better though.
Yeah.
All right. Another show reportedly in development would be a Moon Knight series for Netflix to add to Marvel's ongoing Netflix titles. I think this is the perfect place for a character like Moon Knight because of his multiple personalities. That'd be really hard to throw into one movie, mm-hmm. and it'd be really difficult for you to like just have him be a side character that you join in with other Avengers characters, because this is a deep psychological character. So I think Netflix would be a great place.
Well, here's the thing, though, that honestly, if they start just fleshing out more of these on the TV screen. Yeah, don't spend bajillions of monies making a movie that you can only see once, but lots of smaller bajillions of monies to Netflix thing.
Just jillions.
Yeah. But have them all come together in one giant movie for just brief cameos.
Yeah.
Like, you could show Moon Knight in the background punching Spider-Man in this or whatever, like, in a Civil War type fashion.
And especially masked heroes. Where you could get them,
CGI.
Yeah, really, well, yeah, you voice. Could if you didn't get the you could get the actor to fill in some stuff earlier, and maybe because if depending on how many years go by before they get that together, actors, you know,
mm-hmm.
could get fat.
But at least the people watching like this big epic movie with all these characters would be like, oh, he's already established. I already know who this person is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like that was a big gamble with the first Avengers movie. Oh, there's so many people on screen. How are they going to introduce them? And
they did it well by having the movies first to mm-hmm. get at least the big three. And then even characters like Black Widow and Hawkeye were seen in those movies beforehand, so you at least knew who they were. Well, speaking of more casting news for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Rachel McAdams may play a Night Nurse character. So I thought it was funny that the title said A Night Nurse.
Not The Night Nurse?
Yeah, so...
Yeah, that confused me a lot.
So, people had thought that she was going to play Clea, Doctor Strange's supernatural paramour. But it looks like she's probably going to be playing the Night Nurse now. Basically, this is a character who patches up superheroes and does her job really, really well. So, the reason why she's A Night Nurse is because in the Daredevil series...
Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, Rosario Dawson's character was originally supposed to be the Night Nurse, but then the studio said, nope, we're using her in the cinematic universe. So basically in Daredevil, they kept her exactly the same, but she just doesn't have the title of Night Nurse. So we might see her showing up again in like Jessica Jones and other, and definitely probably in season 2 of Daredevil, to fix up the heroes when they get their butts kicked too much. So
she's just a Night Nurse.
And so, yeah, and so Rachel McAdams is possibly going to play the Night Nurse, so.
That's cool, though. I'm open for them to flesh, like, having, like, It doesn't need to be just like there was only one night nurse, yeah, like in the comic books. There could be a whole, you know, school of them. Mm-hmm.
I just love the idea that, yeah, superheroes do need medical attention.
Yeah, so. I mean, they get the shit kicked out of them like anyone else fighting crime, right?
Yeah. And what else big news here?
Talking about Rosario Dawson, she got cast as Batgirl in the new Lego movie, okay. Lego Batman movie.
Fantastic.
So
when does that come out? Do you know?
2017, I believe. So
we got some time then.
I can't wait, because it'll be awesome.
So according to, from CNET.com, Fox and Marvel are teaming up for an X-Men, two X-Men spinoff series, Hellfire and Legion. We had heard earlier in the week that these were rumors, and that it might be that Marvel got back
the rights. No, there's a big rumor, and this was going around a lot of different blogs, and really because it came from, like, if it did come from, like, a bigger, well-known publisher that checks their sources and everything, but I think this came from comicbookhype.com was the original place that it got posted, where the rumor was Marvel is giving, like, help and everything that they can to the X-Men being on these on the TV shows, but they're getting Fantastic Four back. And that made me giddy. That made me happy. However, just a rumor.
They're both denying it. And
yeah, Fox is not giving up Fantastic Four yet. However, also reading, though, what if it was Fox kind of saying, we already know that we fucked up on this. Let's kind of see what the thoughts are. So they start the rumor. You have people saying, like, if people are like, no, Fox, keep Fantastic Four, they realize, oh, maybe we shouldn't give it up. But how many people were excited for them to get, like, I don't know if that's 100% true, but that could be true. Someone planted this rumor.
Yeah.
Because it seems a little too close to the actual what happened, which is Fox's putting out some X-Men shows on Fox and FX, and Marvel is helping them.
Well, interestingly, though, I guess both these, Hellfire and Legion, both of them have pointedly avoided reference to Charles Xavier, who would be the father of Legion, the X-Men, or even the word mutant at all. So whether or not these shows are going to be part of the X-Men or Marvel Universe is still unclear, but as you get the titles alone, I'm looking forward for Hellfire. I think that one's going to be awesome.
There's no way they're not going to have mutants, but they're probably separating away from those movies, because then to pay movie actors to come do cameos on a TV show when you can get no names and a lot less budget, you may have, like Samuel Jackson showed up on S.H.I.E.L.D. You may have someone showing up, but they're not mentioning them because you're not going to get, like, Michael Fassbender to come on down and be, like, you know, Magneto here or there on the TV show. But I'm really, as you said, you liked Hellfire. I'm looking forward to that and seeing the inner workings of it. But I'm actually more interested in the Legion one.
I'm just curious how much clothes Emma Frost has to wear before the show gets yanked from TV and has to go on HBO.
Yeah.
Well, oh, go ahead.
I got another exciting one. FX is in the process of developing Brian K. Vaughan's Why the Last Man for TV.
Nice. Yeah, I'd heard about that one.
See, I feel though... Well, no, it's not exactly right. Yeah, because I'm forgetting the title of it now. The Last Man on Earth. Yeah, Last Man on Earth, mm-hmm. Which is a comedy, which almost felt like it was
trying to kind of
be Why Last Man, except for Why Last Man has a lot more women and people running around, where also Last Man on Earth, you found that there are a couple other human survivors. But I'm wondering if now that's being, because this other show, which is a comedy, they're like, oh, that made sense. Let's make this now.
Keep it going, you know, because whatever. I mean, they always try to make similar shows. If one's popular, you might as well make another one. And, I mean, yeah.
Well, with only about 7.5 months or so until Captain America Civil War comes out, the first death has already been leaked to the internet. And I pointedly did not read the article because I really don't want it to be spoiled for me.
I totally didn't read the article either.
Nor did I.
However, it just came out, so I'm going to, by the time the movie comes, accidentally hear or someone's going to say, hey, did you hear so-and-so dies in the new Civil War movie?
I bet it's Captain America.
I know, and I was going to say 100% no, so I might as well read the article anyways because I know it's Captain America.
The first leaked death. It's civilian number 42. He ended up getting...
And it'll be a perfect way for them to transition to have Sam Wilson be new Captain America in the movie universe, too, having them be... Which, like I said, it's weird that the comic books and the movies are going to be kind of coinciding with new number ones, having everything be the same universe. But really having the biggest difference now, young Captain America on the screen, old Captain America in the comic book.
They should totally... I mean, I know Chris Evans wanted to extend his contract, apparently, and keep playing him. But I think they should take rid of his super soldier and let Clint Eastwood play old man Captain America.
Or at least just for part of this, part of like the movie, like... You have him be part of it, like, wake up, like...
Just Clint Eastwood.
What happened?
Why am I so old? Get off my shield. Hey, Longshot, you feeling lucky, punk? why, yes, I am. That's my mutant ability. Well, anyways, so spoilers, I don't know. I don't understand why everyone's so ready. This type of journalism, if we'll call it, to, like, try to leak out the things that happen in a movie is really a pain for the movie industry, and it's also really a pain for fans who don't want it ruined before they go see it. Like, I can understand afterwards, the movie's out, people are going to talk about it, so avoid social media and everything until you get to see the movie.
It's like the paparazzi of journalism.
Yeah, but it's the same problem that they had with Star Wars. Like, apparently the photocopies, or the copies of the script were in, like, the darkest red paper and the darkest black ink, so that the actors could hardly read what was going on, and they were only given their parts, so they can't see how they connect into the bigger story. The guy that plays Admiral Akbar was real upset about that, and then Anthony Daniels, who plays C-3PO, was like, it gave me a migraine. I felt hungover just trying to read it, but it's that way no one can photocopy it.
That's how I feel like reading right now.
Yeah.
Tony, don't think good.
Tony, put the Sharpie down.
Big spoiler alert, and this one, which was released a long time ago, but coming up Wednesday, is the future.
That's true.
Yes.
Go Cubs.
Yes. and that is actually the craziest thing out of all this. So, Back to the Future Day, October 21st, 2015, the actual day that Marty and Doc went to the future. Everyone's been talking about it since they were kids, of like, I wonder what it's going to be like. Like, I remember first watching this movie and being like, wow, that's going to be, we're going to have hoverboards. Not thinking we'll truly have hoverboards, but we do have some.
The bullet trains in Japan run off of electromagnetic rails that are hovering above the rails. So, yeah, we have the technology. It's just not economically feasible to give everyone their own hoverboards right now.
But yeah, so they have a new Back to the Future comic book also debuting on that, because it's coming out Wednesday, so lucky them for having that coincide. Looking forward to that, getting back into the world of Back to the Future. I would love to see them make a fourth one. Just wrap it all up in a nice little bow, because although three did wrap it up, the Doc still went away on his flying, you know, train.
Yeah, how can he mess up time some more?
Yeah, what's going to happen? But also, I want to just talk about how what you were mentioning, the Cubs. How in that move they won the World Series, and even though the World Series is happening right now, the Cubs being...
one of the teams.
Yeah.
I'm secretly wondering if to make this happen so the Cubs could win the World Series this year, Doc and Marty brought Steve Bartman back to the Cubs to block that fly ball so that they would lose and just totally demoralize them for this year. This is the best conspiracy theory I've ever had, and it's amazing. Poor Steve Bartman, never allowed in Chicago again, but hey, you know what?
See, awesome. I'm not a big baseball fan, nor... I mean, if I am, I'm going to root for my home team, Tigers, but... I'm a Cubs fan right now because of nerdiness.
But I think that anytime the Cubs act, because they made it to the World Series a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, they almost.
Okay, yeah. They almost made it.
They haven't been to the World Series in forever. That was the Steve
Bartman ruining it. Okay, gotcha. Oh, gotcha, yeah. But yeah, so they haven't even been to the series in forever. But I know that they were close a few years ago, and I was like, you know what? I'll root for, I don't care who really wins, but I'll root for the Cubs because they need it.
Yeah, they really do.
They do need it.
Like, everyone should be a Cubs fan because they've been so awful for so long. You just feel kind of bad for them. It's like being a Lions fan, but worse.
But the Cubs actually are winning right now.
Yeah. Oh.
All right. Well, that does it for news. Let's get into Indy Turnpike.
Yeah.
Indy Turnpike this week was I Hate Fairyland.
Fuck Fairyland.
Well, that's the cover that I picked up this week. But I Hate Fairyland, written and created by Scotty Young, and colors by Gene Francos Bellu. And have one of you guys talk about this first before I delve into the juxtaposing.
So, taking off of a lot of our childhood dreams of being sucked into a magical world and then given a quest to find a way back home, that took her 27 years. And so the character hasn't aged. She's still a young child. But mentally, emotionally, she's a 34-year-old now, woman who's just bitter because she can't go home and she's stuck in this fairyland. Very cartoony. I mean, it even starts with her, like, falling from the sky, and she's got a bone sticking out, yep. And they keep that bone sticking out from her elbow, like, until 27 years go by and she's healed up, but she's still missing that tooth.
There's a lot that can be said about Scotty Young and his art and it being really cartoony. So having this fairyland, like, when I first heard about the book, supportive, I love Scotty Young's work, but I was just like, it's going to be a kid's book. I'm not, you know, I thought it was just going to be like a young kid that just like doesn't, like, you know, Tommy Pumpkinhead who hates his bed, whatever, like, never wants to go to sleep, something like that. No, this is an adult
type book. Very adult book.
Like, even though that they don't swear in it, the closeness of swear words that they make up, and that I picked that they made a cover that says "fuck Fairyland" with the two middle fingers. You look that image up online. Rarely will you actually see it because most places don't want to publish it, saying that a lot of them have two little bugs on the middle fingers and it just says Fairyland. It doesn't have, or it has the little asterisks for the word "fuck." But that in of itself made me go, okay, this is probably going to be a good book. I need to check it out. And it really was. Everything from the rules of Fairyland, you can't kill a person that comes here. The quest to find the key to get out, which should only take a couple days, 27 years later. being sick of the fucking moon and blowing it up and then all the witness stars.
Yeah. It's definitely a trippy book, but also really, I think, a lot of fun, so...
Very much so. Even the riddle.
The riddle, which was a big rap. Yeah. I was trying to find a beat for it as I was reading it, and I was like, I kept rereading it going, I'm white. I can't rap.
No, well, not only that, but just like her saying, like, I got it, and like, you do? Like, and then she just goes...
My thing is, there was no question in it. I reread it, and I was like, there's no question mark. There's not even a, like, who or where. It's just a whole bunch of...
I think it was meant that way so that there really wasn't an answer for us to figure out, but I was, like, trying to... What is this? I have no clue because they're making up little words and any of the things. Oh, eating the mushrooms, though?
Yeah, and then eating the mushroom people and then tripping
out.
Yeah.
And then seeing her little Jiminy Cricket friend. Hi, monster. Actually, no, this is the best for the dialogue alone. Always am intrigued on how characters interact. When she's going on and on and talking, this is going to be a long ride.
She's tripping on shrooms, yeah.
It was sick, and I mean, and water. I mean, right? Like, tell me that doesn't blow your mind. Blah blah blah, blah 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 blah. Are the word bubbles from her?
As from they're her journeying, talking, yeah.
Until the flying pig just goes, "I'm sorry, man. I can't take any more of this." She's repeated the word "blah" for the last 65 miles, as if you're thinking. You're seeing the flow of time, but you're just saying blah, blah, blah. But no, that was just her talking. That made me die laughing. I think the last thing I do want to say, continuity-wise and everything, well, her getting everything colorful fun, but that last thing, did you see the moon being kind of wrapped up and now only a quarter moon? I don't know. Great, awesome book. I could go on and on about it.
Certainly fun.
The art, great, but...
Not for children.
Not for children, because the art and the dialogue juxtapose each other enough.
Jesus.
So...
You keep using that word. I don't think that word means what you think it means.
I really don't think it means either, but there we go. Booze and a Book this week.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're going to tag team this with the book being God is Dead, number 43. This book, I said a couple weeks ago, has renewed the story and everything. I gave up a little bit, but now that the gods have been gone from a world, and now they're coming back from the Nether Realm or whatever, from their oblivion, an amazing drink that we found to go paired with this.
If you want to go one and done with your drink, the Oblivion is for you. First, you're going to need a tall pint glass, because if you don't, it's not going to fit. What you're going to do is you're going to put 2 ounces of 151 rum, 2 ounces of Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey, 2 ounces of Jim Beam bourbon whiskey, 2 ounces of Jägermeister, 3 ounces of Southern Comfort peach liqueur, and then 2 ounces more of whiskey of your choosing. And mix those all together in that glass and have yourself a terrible night.
Yes. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you will be meeting your maker if you drink all that.
Because you will be in oblivion, like Tony's brain cells from the painted box.
Yes. So that is your booze in the book for the week. You guys have any last calls, stuff you read?
Thanks, Ink Whiskey. You were the coolest.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Ink Whiskey, for sponsoring.
Tony apparently forgot because that brain cell died. But
so if you want some really awesome drinking paraphernalia, you can go to inkwhiskey.com. Check them out. And one other, if you can't...
Yeah, the Kickstarter for the Bartendo line, I just got an email the other day that if you back that, it looks like it's going to be shipping on time, so everyone should have those in December.
Fantastic. And you can drink your Obliviator out of Mega Man.
The Mega Man Kega Man double cup. You could have a double if you wanted, but I wouldn't recommend it because you would die.
Share it with a friend.
Yeah.
Just like your comics. Share them with your friends. Last call, Civil War number 5 and Secret Wars came out. Nice wrap up there.
Sex Criminals number 13 came out. I got the Not Safe for Work cover that I haven't opened yet because I'd want to be surprised. But it's like sealed in a bag because it's porn.
So something awesome. Randomly I picked up but I haven't read yet, but it seems awesome. Might do a review later on. Alice Cooper versus Chaos number 2. Mainly awesome. Because of Alice Cooper. I'm thinking it's Halloween time. Why not go?
We're not worthy. Yeah. We're not worthy. I love Alice Cooper.
Star Trek Green Lantern number 4. That's actually a pretty sweet, the Spectrum War, pretty sweet crossover that's going on.
We talked about that a few weeks ago. Yeah. It's ridiculous, but it's awesome.
Gem and the Holograms number 8 came out. Synergy still needs to get better.
Infinity, what if Thanos? What if Thanos joined the Avengers came out? That's
ludicrous. You got to read that before, right?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I mean... We talked about what-ifs have kind of not been as great as they have been in the past, but I think that's because all the really good what-if stories are Secret Wars, like spin-offs and stuff. Yep. So, yes, it's fun, but it doesn't have that, like, world-shattering, it changes the consequences very much. It kind of just seems like that one event was different because of... the Thanos joining the Avengers, so mm-hmm. So yeah, it's all right. It's
as was mentioned earlier, Thing is out in space, hanging out with Guardians of the Galaxy and Guardians of the Galaxy number 1.
Didn't Shattered Empire number 4 come out? Was it this week?
Yes, it did, but I didn't pick it up.
Why?
Because I didn't pick up number 3 because I didn't realize they were coming out as quickly as they were.
I picked up 3
actually,
and 4.
So what I should have done is picked up 4 and then just picked up 3 too, but I thought I should pick up 3 and then pick up 4.
So your brain didn't function again.
Yeah, no, not really. Last that I had was Ninjak number 8. He is one of the most coolest ninjas ever from the Valiant universe. So that's all I had.
Cool. Sweet. I'm good.
All right.
Kind of want an Obliviator. Make myself feel like Tony now.
You may never recover from a drink like that.
Oblivion, not the Oblivion. Obliviator. Obliviator. That's a different one. The Obliviator was Van Gogh espresso vodka in a dragon's milk. And that was delicious.
Yeah.
That'll make you forget. But you can have one of those and still breathe in the morning.
Did you ever have the double dragon? Ooh. The shot of beer barrel bourbon whiskey into a dragon's milk?
Yeah. Life is good.
All right, all this talk about booze is making me sick for the first time in my life. So with that, let's go have a drink.
See
ya. Stay thirsty.
Fuck you, Tony.
Fuck you, Tony.